You're listening to The Striking Corner.
Oh, what's up, everybody? This is Eric Rivera, and you are listening to episode 22 of The Striking Corner. And as always, I have my right-hand man with me, my co-host on The Striking Corner, Mr. Vinny Scotto. What's up, man?
Hello, Mr. Eric Rivera. How are you this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Everything's really good. And actually, we're going to have, I'm kind of excited about this podcast. We have an up-and-coming young fighter on the show that I've been following his career, and he's doing a lot of good things. But before we get into that, Vin, I think a question that's on everybody's mind is, remember last time we were on the show, we were discussing that you had a yoga class? I want to know, how did that yoga class go, man? I think everybody, that's the question on everybody's lips.
I don't think anybody really wants to know how it went. No, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's really obviously not for me.
Yeah.
Not my thing. I kind of have a different idea of what yoga was now that we're going to go into detail about this. It was actually, believe it or not, it was a little too fast for me. When I think of yoga, it's like something I want to just go, like, I want to relax. I want to work on my flexibility, get stretching. But it's like every 3 seconds, they're making me jump around and do something different. I didn't like it. I was sweating. it was ridiculous.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I mean, I guess your experience with yoga wasn't that good. A lot of fighters like to use it. I guess it just didn't work for you.
No. Because, you know, when you train Muay Thai, obviously, you know what you're in for. Like, it's hard work. You're sweating. You're training. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But then when I'm going to go do something other than Muay Thai, I don't want to be doing that much activity. I kind of just want to relax.
Oh, all right. So you like to only do the hard work when it comes to Muay Thai, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. So I just wanted to actually say thank you to everyone for ordering the Knock Muay Forever shirts. We actually had a ton of support come out. A ton of people ordered them. A lot of people got their shirts. They're very happy with them. We're very happy with them. So we wanted to thank you guys. Vinny, what's going to happen with the shirts? I think I know Vinny's in charge of the shop. Vinny's the guy, our shop guy. Vinny, you said that you were going to actually put them on the, we're going to see if we can stock them or something, or?
Well, that is the plan. Actually, the people I was going to use for, you know, doing the actual printing and everything, I just had a few issues with them. I wasn't happy with them. So now we're not going to be stocking them yet. Okay. We may actually be running another campaign just because we know there are a few more people that did want them. So we're not bringing them in stock because now I need to find a new printer and someone who I actually like to deal with.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for now, like I said, we'll run another campaign. Maybe not 25 days, but we'll definitely run another one for, you know, a few people that missed out, didn't have a chance to get it. And then, you know, we'll take it from there. Hopefully I find a new printer by the end of the next campaign.
Okay, cool. So yeah, guys, we're going to probably run another campaign. We've actually been pretty successful, the two that we ran. You guys seem to like it. Like I said, I appreciate all the support. They sold pretty good. People seem to like them. So there was a couple of stragglers out there that didn't get them in the time frame that we had put them for the two campaigns. So they wanted to get those, basically have another campaign. So we might do that sometime soon. So stay tuned for that. Also, we are currently working on another shirt that we're going to probably do for another campaign. So we're going to keep this up until finally we can start stocking them on our own shop that we're putting together for the Striking Corner. So stay tuned for that. And like I said, I appreciate that everybody's following and you guys are really, really tuning into the podcast and everything. So, you know, both Vinny and I are really grateful for that. And we weren't expecting as much feedback as we have. And it's been really solid. So thank you guys for that support. Just quick sponsorship stuff. Hey guys, we actually have a new company working with us at the Striking Corner. It's onit.com. I have actually I'm very happy about using these guys because I use a lot of their supplements for my own training and for my own daily use to feel healthy, to stay in shape, all that type of stuff. You know, using their protein, their hemp force protein, using their krill oil, which is kind of like a much better omega-3 fatty acid, and then Shroom Tech, Alpha Brain. There's a lot of great stuff. A lot of really, really big athletes are behind the product, so you know we are definitely happy to have them. Onit.com. You can get anything. You go to strikingcorner.com/onit. You can actually order from there, or you can go to onnit.com via our website, or if you're at onnit.com, basically go to onnit.com via our website. And if you're also on onnit.com via our website, you can use coupon code, which is get on it, and that's 10% off. All right, guys. So that's that. And then also we are.
And wait, but before you go on, speaking of t-shirts, Onnit actually has some pretty cool t-shirts too.
Okay.
I actually, you see that zombie one, that really colorful zombie one? I think I need to get that one.
Oh yeah, man. That's they have these like glow, and it's actually glow in the dark too. So they have these really cool shirts, a lot of cool apparel, guys. So you guys, you can get also like a 10% discount on that as well. So like I said, strikingcorner.com on it, or go on our Striking Corner website, click on the banner, use the promo code get on it, and get yourself some really great stuff. They have kettlebells, battle ropes, everything you need to stay in shape. There's a ton of stuff there that you guys can use, and just get on it. So besides that, we're also a Yocal power seller, and you can get 10% off by going to yocal.com and using the promo code. Is it Striking or Striking Corner? What's the promo code? I think it's Striking Corner.
Striking Corner.
Striking Corner is the promo code on yocal.com. You can also go through our link on our website. We are a yocal.com power seller. Great gear. A lot of top-notch guys. Sanchai, Liam Harris, and Buaka. A lot of these guys are using that gear, and a lot of people seem to like it. So check them out as well. All right. So what else is going on, Vin? Anything else you wanted to add before we jump into the interview?
Not much. I mean, did you catch the glory last week?
Oh, yeah, man. We had Glory, was it Glory 22, happened live from France. A lot of great fights that night. You know, congratulations to all the winners in that fight. I mean, in those fights, I'm sorry. Who stood out to you the most, man? I think it's the same thing that everyone's been speaking about. The winner of
Sidichai.
Sidichai, man. The winner of the lightweight contender tournament. And Sidichai is now lined up for a battle with Robin van Roosmalen for the lightweight glory, lightweight world title. And man, that's one I really want to watch.
I mean, you know, we are the Striking Corner and we are everything Muay Thai and kickboxing. But, you know, obviously everyone knows that me and you are both, you know, Muay Thai traditionalists.
Uh-huh.
And I just think it's great to see a Thai, or even if it wasn't a Thai, a traditional Muay Thai fighter, like up there at the top of glory in kickboxing rules.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
No, and it is because I know Cam was in Glory. He didn't do as well, but that was just like one fight he had. It was actually with David Kiria, who Sidichai beat. But you know, man, Sidichai just looked really good, really solid. Those, you know, leg kick, body kicks from hell, you know, was stopping Josh Johnsey. That knee that he got on David Kiria, he looks really solid. He's always been a very tough competitor, and a lot of people. You know, I saw some people were saying that it was an upset and all this stuff like that. I'm like, if you knew Sidichai, I don't think it was much of an upset. I think a lot of us had him kind of winning that tournament. I didn't expect him to do as well or look as crisp and clean as he did, and deal with, you know, a lot of two very good kickboxers. Josh Johnsey looked really good in his fight.
Yeah, Johnsey looked awesome that night.
Yeah. So, you know, actually, shout out to Josh Johnsey. I know. I've followed him a little bit as well, and he's really, really good, and he's also a young guy. He's coming up, and I can't wait to see more of him. That was a good fight, but he came up against a guy who's another monster. So, Sidichai, like, once again, Sidichai's fight against Robin van Roosmalen is going to be pretty epic, man. So I can't wait for that one. And then, man, I have to say it. You know, I'm a heavyweight fighter. I fought as heavyweight when I was more actively fighting. I'm trying to, like I said, I'm actually training right now to fight again. And I am a heavyweight, and I love watching heavy. The funny thing is, man, I've never been big on watching heavyweight fights as much. I always like the lighter weights in Muay Thai, you know, or the 170s, even the middleweights like, you know, Simon Marcus, Joe Schilling, all those guys. But one of the guys that I like to watch, man, especially a heavyweight, he inspires me, young guy as well, is Rico Verhoeven, man. Great fight he put on against Benjamin Agdekbuyi. I think it's his name. I didn't want to slaughter it, but I don't. Awesome fight, man. Awesome fight. He's just so,
really was.
So clean, man, and just so many, like, puts the combinations together, fluid. He just doesn't stop coming. He doesn't seem like he gets, like he doesn't get flustered, man. He just keeps going and going and going and puts everything together. And I just I love watching him fight, man. And he's really, for me, an inspiration in a way, because he's a young guy and he keeps doing it. And he's beat tough guys like Daniel Gita and Errol Zimmerman and all these guys. And he put on a really great performance and earned, I mean, that, well, he protected his title, but he basically, you know, showed why he's the champion. So
I don't think I've ever seen, you know, someone at that weight, 265 pounds, go at that pace for five full rounds.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's a specimen, dude. And he doesn't even, like, he's big, man, but he moves so well.
Yeah.
And it's just really awesome to see that, because, I mean, it's something that, I mean, I'm 32 years old. I would love to emulate that. He's obviously a young guy, but that's kind of the style that you would see, like, a lot of heavyweights. I mean, a lot of the heavyweights that people have loved watching over the years, whether it's in boxing or even in kickboxing, have always been sort of big guys, but they've shown a lot of mobility. Guys like Remy Bonjasky, you know, was another guy. Tyrone Spong has done, you know, well at the bigger weights now. He's very fluid as well. And Rico Verhoeven, though, but they're also small guys. Like Gokhan Saki is like a small guy for the heavyweight division, and he moves really well. But Rico Verhoeven is a big dude, and he moves really well. You know, so it's there's a. That division has had a lot of tough guys. You got Saki in there, Gita, all those guys. I can't wait to see, you know, all those guys fight again. And so that's... Well,
yeah, but Saki's not in the same weight class as Verhoeven.
Oh, I thought he was... Wasn't he fighting at heavyweight?
No, they both have titles.
So what is... Saki's in the...
Gokhan Saki and Tyrone Spong are in the weight class below.
Okay. So I was confused there. All right. But I mean, like I'm saying, with Rico Verhoeven, for how big he is... Because he is probably in the weight class of what? Like Remy Bonjasky was heavyweight. So I'm pretty sure.
Well, he's 265.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure those are, I mean, I just like the way he moves and how quick he is for that size, man. I mean, Gita is moves really well as well. But I really Verhoeven is currently my favorite heavyweight fighter, and he's doing really well in Glory, and I liked watching him that night. Who else was on the card? A lot of, there was some really good
Mukasa.
Yeah, Zach Mukwasa showcasing that big, big, powerful, you know, what is it, a right hook? Just solid, man.
Was it? I don't remember if it was a right or a left hook.
Whatever, man. He's got a lot of power. Oh, man. So, no. Yeah, Zach Mukwasa. I would like to see him kick more. I don't know what it is. I just think...
Well, they said, you know, during that fight that he is trying to work on his kicks and throw more kicks.
Mm-hmm.
So he did throw more kicks that fight than I have seen him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to go and say he's like, for me, he's kind of a one-dimensional guy. But I mean, feel like right now it's like he's just banking on knocking dudes out with the power that he obviously has. And it works. Obviously, I mean, he's fought guys like Brian Collette, but then he had trouble with guys that were really mobile and had good head movement. And when he couldn't catch them, you know, was his fight was, I think it was Cavallari. He ended up losing that fight because of that. So, you know, I just think he's sort of banking too much on the power, but I really like him a lot. And I want to see him sort of evolve his game and see where it goes. So I just hope, you know, if he continues to evolve in his game and starts kicking more and is a little bit more quicker and mobile and then uses that power to his advantage. I just don't know how he's going to fare with like the more mobile guys. Like, I mean, he's in the weight class with Rico Verhoeven. I don't think he's going to land the shots.
He's not either.
How is he not either?
He's in the weight class with Saki. Because he's the title holder in that division. Gokhan Saki is a title holder.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned it the other night that, you know, that he would, Mukasa wanted the title, he'd have to fight Saki. But he's not at that, you know, he's not ready for a title fight yet anyway. But mm-hmm. They mentioned it.
Man, I'm looking this up because I feel confused at the moment. And I feel like I don't know why I keep saying that. And then I'm looking it up and I'm just trying to see the rankings here because I think you're lying to me. No, actually
I could be. Maybe I'm just totally retarded right now.
No, you're right. I am sorry. I was confusing those two weight classes. So yeah, Rico Verhoeven, currently Glory heavyweight champion. Daniel Gita is number one contender, and then Benjamin Adegbuyi was number two. So you're right. He's currently, who is this? Currently, yeah, Saki is the light heavyweight champ. You're right. He's the light heavyweight champ. All right, man. So that's where Zach Mukwasa is in that division as well, then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now you got it.
All right, perfect. Yeah, I was I'm sorry, guys. I was confused about that. I had to look it up. All right, so Glory 22 was a really good show. I'd say better for me, a little bit better than 21. I think they really picked up. I liked the matchups. I thought they were a lot of really exciting fights. And that's it, man. Glory 23 is coming up in Friday, August 7th in Vegas. And, you know, Valtellini actually had to vacated his title because of, you know, post-concussion syndrome. So now we're actually set up for a fight that I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say it. You know, we have people that listen to our podcast that are part of Glory, but I really don't like the matchup as much for this welterweight world championship. They're putting Holtzkin again against Raymond Daniels. And I just think that I just don't see the fight going any differently than the first one, man.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, obviously Daniels can surprise everybody. He's got all those, you know, that arsenal of kicks, but Holtzkin seemed to deal with him really easy the first time. And this fight is only going to be it's only going to be a 6 month difference from when they last fought. So I really think that, I think it's going to be, I don't want to say easy pickings because I don't want to discount Daniel's talent, but I just think Holtzkin is on another level and I think he's going to take that fight. And the one that I think everybody has been waiting to see was the rematch between him and Valtellini. So hopefully Valtellini, shout out to Joseph Valtellini, Bazooka Joe. We hope you recover quick and get back in the ring sometime soon, sooner rather than later, and are able to jump back in the fray and hopefully you can challenge for that title. And or if not, just we would love to see that fight with Holtzkin again, because I really think Valtellini is one of the only guys in that weight class that can really, really, really go toe-to-toe with Holtzkin and put on a good fight. He did it the first time and just got knocked out at the end, very end of the fight. There was only a couple seconds left. So I really think he's got a really good chance. So good luck to Joseph Valtellini, and I hope he recovers soon. And that's about it, man. I think it's... should we move into the interview? I think we got Gaston on the line.
Yeah, which I don't know if we actually mentioned who it is yet.
Well, no, just Gaston Bolaños is going to be our guest for today. Very happy to have him on. Young, up-and-coming, rising star in the Muay Thai ranks here in the United States. Originally from Lima, Peru. He moved here when he was young. Has started training Muay Thai at a young age in Peru. And now he is pretty much blazing a trail in Lion Fight, has won his last four fights all by stoppage. He is really a strong fighter, and we have him on the line. Can't wait to speak with him, and we will be back in just one moment. All right, so everybody, welcome back to the Striking Corner, and like we had already said, we have a very special guest today. He is currently 4-0 in the Lion Fight promotions. He is, an up-and-coming fighter right now in the United States, one of the top prospects in the 145 category, and we wanted to let everybody meet this guy that's a young and upcoming fighter right now in the United States, one of the top prospects, Mr. Gaston Bolaños. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy to be here on the Striking Corner.
All right, man. So let's get right to it. You know, you're 22 years old. You come originally from Lima, Peru. You started Muay Thai at the age of 10 years old, young age of 10 years old. Talk to me a little bit were you born and raised in Lima and then, you know, got into the fight game? I mean, how did you start off on this journey in Muay Thai?
You know, yeah, I was born and raised in Lima, Peru. Moved here to California when I was 13. I started over there when I was 10. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it, man. I mean, my dad was the one that brought me into it. Mm-hmm. Started doing it first. And then after going and watching him do it, you know, I was like, you know, like, I'm going to give it a shot, you know. Yeah. From there, you know, I didn't think I would fight or anything like that. But then, you know, I guess my coach back in the day, Rodrigo, who actually trained here with Alex Gong. That's how he was pretty much brought into the whole scene. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw some potential, and, you know, my first fight was a 10. And then when I moved here, I picked right back up a Surtex, and then that's history, man. It's, you know, I'm truly blessed that I have all the people that I have around me. You know, Kieran, Kevin, and that I'm at Combat Sports Academy in Dublin, California.
Yeah, man, you truly, I mean, you like you said, you train right now with Kieran Fitzgibbons out of CSA in Dublin, California. You got, you know, a whole school of killers there, man, with Kevin Ross, and I know you got Zoila Frausto and a bunch of really top-notch guys there to train with. So you said you started at the age of 10. You are a South American Muay Thai champion, correct? You've also done that as well. So you said that you started out, when you started out Muay Thai, you were talking about how your father was involved in it. Was fighting always something you wanted to do, or how did that turn out? I mean, did you jump into Muay Thai thinking you were going to fight?
Yeah, I mean, I jumped right into it, you know, and like a few months had gone by, and Rodrigo was talking to my dad. I was like, you know what, like we're not getting a fight, man, and it just happened like that. And then before I knew it, I was fighting. I had my first fight. It was crazy. It's crazy how fast and like how you kind of don't look at it as a fight, I guess, when you're like 10 years old. You know, you kind of look at it like it's like a soccer game, you know, like it's something that you're just going to go do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it happened to me, you know. And then now it's, you know, I'm at this level now, and I'm just blessed, like I said, to have all the people that I have around me and, you know, to keep that intensity, you know. And every fight camp gets harder, and, you know, I just try to push myself to the limits every time.
True, true. And let me ask you, so you were said that you came to the U.S. at the age of 13. Why was that? Is it something that was it with you? Did your family end up moving and relocating here? And then how did you discover end up going to CSA
We relocated here, and then a few months after we moved, you know, we realized Fairfax Mountain View was like right around the corner.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Rodrigo knew Johnson, and Johnson was involved with Fairfax. You know, Alex had passed away already because he passed away few years before that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Johnson was there, and I just picked right back up, and then I did a few smokers, and we did jump right into the amateur game. And then they came up with this rule in California that only if you were under 18, you can only fight as juniors. And then we ran out of juniors to fight, so I was fighting as an adult for a long time after that. It's kind of crazy. And then last year we decided it was time to go pro.
Yeah, man. I mean, you racked up, like I'm looking at here, you had about 23 wins as an amateur. It says that more than a dozen fight finishes. I mean, how many amateur fights did you do in Peru before you came to the U.S. and then started here?
I did a couple over there. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really that many fights back then either. You know, it was, like I said, the scene was just growing over there as well. It's much bigger now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did a couple fights over there. I did a boxing match. I did a couple Muay Thai fights, so about three.
Okay, and then so mm-hmm. pretty much the majority of your amateur career, then you did it here. So you were at Fairfax Mountain View first, and then you made the venture to CSA. So how did you meet Kieran? How did that, you know, that right now, obviously, you know, we're both Vinny and I are coaches as well. We coach our fighters here. I'm in Florida. Vinny's in New York. Everything is about chemistry for, you know, obviously, you know that as well, because it seems like the chemistry that you have at CSA, you know, you've really grown and blossomed as a fighter from what I saw of your old fights when you were younger, obviously with more experience, more time. But it seems like you and the team at CSA have a really good relationship, and you've sort of grown into you guys have meshed well. I mean, how did you end up meeting Kieran and then deciding to go from Fairfax Mountain View to CSA?
Well, you know, Kieran used to go to Fairfax. He would teach a few classes here and there as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was chosen to be the coach of the U.S. for the 2008 IFMA World Championships, which I was a part of. I was a junior in that team.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that's how pretty much we met, and I really got to know who Kieran was, and he really got to know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after that, man, I was, you know, the chemistry was good. You know, he was a good coach, you know. He knew what the things that I needed to do in order to make it in this game, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, like you say, man, he's CSA, we're like a family. One of us fights, we all fight.
Yeah.
You know, the chemistry is really good, you know, with Zoila, Kevin, Diego, Eddie, Brian. We have a few guys that we all work together, and, you know, every round is a hard round, you know. Whether we're doing technique, clinch, or hard sparring, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
we're always helping each other out, and I think, you know, we're always making each other better.
Definitely.
You know, steel definitely sharpens steel, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know Kevin wasn't always with CSA, so, I mean, I think he's been there, what, like two years now or something like that?
Yeah, like, I think it's been like 3 years now.
So,
first time I saw Kevin fight is, I was actually supposed to fight that night as well.
Yeah.
When he fought Coke, I forget what year it was.
Yeah.
But he fought Coke. I had no clue who Kevin Ross was at the moment. I was like, man, I was a huge Coke fan, you know, I thought he was one of the best out there, you know, at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and then I saw Kevin, I was like blown away. I was like, wow. Like, he was, you know, it was truly amazing to see somebody, you know, put all those combinations together and, you know, outperform a tie the way he did.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, like my whole game had changed, you know, and I was telling, me and Kerryon were, you know, we're kind of arguing. We're like, oh, and I was like, dude, Coke's going to beat this guy. I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
And then Kerryon's like, oh, you just watch. You've never seen Kevin Ross fight. And I was like, yeah, you know. Kevin already knew Kerryon. Kerryon already knew Kevin from Master Toddy's, you know. Kerryon did a lot of certifications over there, so he already knew who Kevin was. And, yeah, I mean, since then, you know, I was a huge fan of Kevin Ross. You know, I never thought that, you know, we'll be training here, we'll be training partners. And more than friends, we're like brothers, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy how the universe just puts everything in place.
Yeah, man, that's true. I mean, that was my next question. I mean, so you saw Kevin Ross. You saw him fight Coke Chunawat. You're basically, you don't know who this guy is. I mean, obviously, at that time, you know, he's a really well-known guy. And then, you know, so you look up to this guy, and now, I mean, you noticed after that, you know who this guy is, and you know what a badass Kevin Ross is and who he is in the American Muay Thai scene. And then to have him come over to your gym and start training with you, I mean, what was that? Now it's like, you know, you're training with one of the top guys in America. How has that experience been?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we had a lot of people in our gym,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have the dynamic we have now, you know? So
yeah.
I really was forced to get better quick, man. I mean, you go in there, I mean, I was scared to go with Kevin Ross back then.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Our dynamic has changed now, you know?
Yeah.
We're more like a training partner type of thing, you know? He helps me out a lot, man. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for him and if it wasn't for Kerryon, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then it was like, I mean, everything I did, it was just like, he knew it was coming. He knew what I was doing. He knew, like, it was, like, impossible, you know?
Yeah.
And now, you know, and it was kind of like, I was kind of like starstruck at the same time, because I was like, I looked up to this guy, and I just saw him fight Sanchai. I saw him fight all these people, you know, and now we're training together, you know. He moved out, you know, it was really cool. It was a really cool experience, you know, and I'm, like I said, I'm truly blessed that happened.
Yeah, definitely, man. So ever since then, now you've made this, you had 23 wins as an amateur, you know, had more, like I said, you had, I don't know how many finishes as an amateur. So you move up the ranks. You were saying that you were fighting adults, fighting as an adult. There weren't any more juniors to fight. You know, you're still, you know, very young, you know, 22 years old. And now you moved in. Now you're a pro in Lion Fight. You're 4-0. You know, and so, I mean, the transition for you has been pretty seamless into being a pro Muay Thai fighter. And so how has, I mean, I don't know how to say, I mean, obviously you've had this great experience, but have you felt, you know, you seem to fight in there and you're very relaxed. I mean, I love your style because you're very fast paced, but you're technical, very strong, man. You show such fluidity in there. It seems like, you know, you just jumped into, I mean, was there any, before your first fight, your first pro fight, was there any nervousness or were you completely ready to jump into the pro ranks? How did that work for you?
I mean, I saw already, it felt like there was no one else to fight in the amateurs.
Yeah.
You know, we had multiple fights turned down, multiple fights not happen. You know, I was actually supposed to fight for Lion Fight.
Mm-hmm.
My last amateur fight was a pro qualifier, I guess, Chris Williams from Canada. It was a, you know, and on paper it was a really good fight. You know, I was really excited about the fight. And then weighing days come, and he didn't make weight. He was like 10 pounds over.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like an eye opener. Like, okay, you know, this was the last guy in like North America to fight, and
yeah.
You know, he couldn't make weight. You know, I know Chris is doing good too. I mean, he's a good fighter. You know, I was really, like I said, I was really looking forward to fight him.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of like the last thing. I was like, you know, it's time to go pro. You know, this is it. You know,
we don't
need any more things to happen. You know.
Yeah. No, I actually think I read about that one and how disappointed you were, and you know, about that fight. And I think a lot of people were disappointed about him not making weight and you not being able to fight. And so then you made that jump. And then since then, I mean, since then you've fought some, you know, pretty solid guys. Your first win was Brian Del Rosario, beat him by TKO, then Tyler Toner, TKO, then Caleb Archer, another KO actually. And then recently you beat Damian Eerley, you know. So, I mean, you've been, you know, going steadily and just running through these guys. And the one thing that everybody knows about you is, and you know this now too, is that one of your patented moves is that spinning back elbow, man.
So, I mean, I didn't invent it, you know. I just, you know, I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
I've always practiced it. You know, I didn't have a chance to do it as much as an amateur. You know, I did do it a few times in the South American Championships. My first qualifier fight was a spinning back elbow knockout. Same thing. I broke the guy's nose.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things that I see the opening in the ring and I'm like, why not? You know, let's make this exciting. This is what it's all about, right? People watch fights. You know, people watch Muay Thai because one, it's beautiful. Two, because it's exciting. People want to see people fight.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Of course. We don't want to see a point fight.
If I can make it more exciting and I can do, you know, then why not?
Yeah.
So you just want to go for that highlight reel knockout, basically.
No, I mean, not really. It's just something that I've been practicing for so long, that spinning back elbow, that when I just see an opening, I just throw it. You know, I've missed a couple times with it, you know, and I don't land every time, but if I can land more than I miss, then it's a good day, right?
Oh, of course, man. And the thing is, man, if with a spinning back elbow, if you land it, like even once, you don't need to land it more than a couple times, man. It does work pretty quick, man. So yeah, man, I mean, that's the thing that most, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because definitely, man, you've done things. So, I mean, it may seem not at a fast pace for you, but you even said it at the beginning that it's been sort of like a blessing, you know, how everything's just how it's, you know, like you've gone from being 10 years old to you're 22 now, that's 12 years, but really, you know, you're a young guy. It's been your entire youth fighting. And then, but pretty much, you know, you've looked up to these guys, you know, guys like Kevin Ross. And then I know Chaz Mulkey has been in and out of CSA and all these other guys that go in and out of CSA. So you're seeing all these top notch guys and you've just, you know, you've gone so quickly from being, you know, just this young kid at 13, you know, doing a couple amateur fights. And then, you know, even though it's 23 fights, it's still, I mean, it still happened pretty quickly. And now you're in the pros and you're 4-0. It's been a lightning, sort of a lightning success story for you. You know, I don't want to take away from all the hard work, but you've moved rather quickly and you've done really well, man. So it's that's part of the reason we wanted to have your show, because you're I would say your stock has risen pretty quickly, and that's kind of one of the reasons I really was interested in having you on, because I wanted to hear your story. It's just you know, I really like how, you know, how everything, how you've been just, you know, pretty much kicking ass and taking names so far, man. That's pretty good, dude, for a guy that's only 22. And so let me ask you, I mean, you first got started in Muay Thai. You said it at first you weren't really looking to fight, you know, but then, you know, your dad was training, you got into fighting, you kind of had a little bit of trouble at school, liked to fight. And now from that to being 4-0 as a pro, what is your outlook in Muay Thai? I mean, is this something that you, I mean, obviously you've taken the leap to become pro. What is your ultimate goal, man? I know probably be world champion, but I mean, what do you see? How do you see yourself continuing in this game?
You know, I want to keep fighting, you know, and I want to keep getting tough fights, and I just want to be the best I can be. I always want to be improving, you know. Like I said on an interview for Lion Fight, you know, if the next guest on the lineups can beat the last one, then I'm doing my job, you know, and that's my main goal, you know. It's more like a mastery thing.
Yeah.
You know, and with mastery, the success will come. You know, if I'm doing what I love, you know, if I'm just working on improving myself, I'm going to be able to get better, you know, and I'm going to be, that success will come along with everything that I do. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to win every fight, you know, everybody loses.
Yeah.
You know, and with losing comes, you know, you're going to learn why you lost and why those things happened, you know. But if you can win more than you lose, man, that's, and if I can get better every time, I'm happy.
Yeah, man. And you know what? That quote that you just said, I like it a lot, man, because you just said, if Gastón Bolaños can beat the last Gastón Bolaños, or like if you can continue, if you could be better than the one you were at your last fight and in every fight, then you're constantly improving and you're getting better. I mean, I really like that outlook. And I mean, I think it's really a testament to your thought the way you're thinking about it is really a testament to your success, because it seems like every fight you're pretty much improving. I mean, actually, talk to me. I guess we can go into the last fight that you just had. It was another one that was pretty. I think it was a good fight. You actually got cut, right? You cut under the eye, I believe, right? I don't know if it was a.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I got a cut on the cheek. I got a cut on the nose and one under the eye. You know, Damon was, you know, pretty smart with those elbows. He knew how to use his reach, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I had to come in one way or another. You know, whether I got a cut or not, I had to come in. You know, I think I made it a lot harder than it had to be.
Yeah.
The fight, but it was at the same time, it was more exciting. People liked it. You know, they got to see a different side of me. You know, they had to see me dig deep.
Yeah.
And you know, real won that win, right? Not they didn't get to see the Gastón Bolaños are just. Went, you know, in the first three rounds by knockout or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's good. You know, people need to see that different side of you. You know, and like I want to show people that I'm not a one dimensional fighter. You know, that's not all that I have. You know, that I have combinations. I have boxing. I have low kicks, which you know, something that I've actually had for a long time. Mm-hmm. People have to see that side of me as well. You know.
Yeah.
And yeah. The one thing though is I wouldn't be doing any of this if it wasn't for my team, if it wasn't for Kieran, you know?
Yeah.
Kieran believed in me since I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's because of him, you know, and my team that I'm where I'm at today.
Yeah.
I really wanna thank them, thank CSA, for everything they've done for me, you know.
Yeah, man.
Because I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for them, you know, if Kieran didn't believe in me the way he has, you know, he honestly, man, like there's some days that are tough, you know, some days that he probably believes in me more than I do, you know, and I need, sometimes you as a fighter, you need that, you know, and sometimes you need somebody like that to, you know, wake you up and tell you, you know what, this is what you were born to do. And you're like, you kind of like look around and you're like, yeah, this is it. This is what I was born to do, you know.
Yeah.
So I gotta thank him for everything that I've done.
Of course, some people don't realize that even though when you get in the ring, you're in there by yourself. They don't realize that it still is a team sport, and without a team, you're not gonna make it anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it on my fights. You know, I mean, even though not everybody from my team can be in the ring, you know, you see him right behind there. Zoilo's there. Eddie's there. Diego's there. All our, you know, Brian's there. Kevin's in the ring. Kieran's in the ring. Chas has been in my corner a few times. You know, I really enjoy working with all three of them, you know.
Yeah.
I really get enough feedback on what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong and what I need to do to win every round, you know.
Yeah.
I really enjoy having Kieran, Kevin, and Chas in my corner.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, it shows because, I mean, obviously, like, you've brought it up a couple times. And we all know that famous saying, which is, you know, steel sharpens steel. And you're in a, you know, you're in a gym where you have these, you know, top notch guys every single day, you know, training with you. But see, at the same time, even if you have all these top guys in your gym training with you, obviously you got to put in the work, because I mean, it's not like we learn by osmosis, you know, just because you're around guys. You know, you're not going to absorb everything that they have or everything, you know, you're not going to absorb and get better if you don't put in the work. So a lot of that, like I said, is a testament to your hard work, to your ability, your natural ability, then obviously, how would I say, combined with the coaching by Kieran, the help from all the guys in the gym. So really, I mean, you have all these guys around you, plus, you know, the hard work that you put in yourself. And that really shows in why you've had this success, man. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say, and the other thing I wanted to say that I liked that you were talking about was that in your last fight, you know, you were saying you got cut, you know, you was a different thing that you have to show people, because your first three fights, maybe people saw, oh, you know, he knocked these guys out, TKO, you know, maybe what's going to happen if Gaston Bolaños gets dragged into like a 5-round fight battle, you know what I mean?
You know, and then people start to question, you know, people are like, oh, well, those guys he fought, you know, they're garbage, you know, and you know, people like to talk, you know, and you can never do anything right. You know, people will always talk and there's always going to be haters, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, that's why I work hard and I do what I do, because, you know, I want people to see, you know, that how hard we work at CSA and what is it that we do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's always going to be haters, you know, and you just got to shut them down and keep working hard.
Yeah, man. But what? At the end of the day, man, I don't know what it is. And, you know, I think we can always agree on that. I don't know what it is about fighting sports, but it brings out more like wannabe freaking, you know, fighters and guys that are, you know, freaking experts than any other thing, man. I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God. You post one thing on Instagram or on Facebook and everybody's got an opinion about it.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is...
That's kind of stop posting because I don't care really, but everybody has an opinion.
Of course, man. And there's a lot of negativity in fighting, man. There's a lot of it because there's like so many people that have an opinion and a lot of times, man, they're guys that have never been in the ring or have fought very little to say any of that stuff. Because I mean, it's funny that you brought that up, because I was just like, one of the videos that I was watching earlier to do, you know, my research on, you know, your career and all that stuff. It was a fight I think you did in Peru back in the day. And then some guy wrote in Spanish, you know, he was like, oh, you know, Gaston is slow. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? You know, like that's everything looks pretty quick to me.
I actually know exactly which fight that is. Yeah. I've seen the same comment. I was like, what's slow about that? I'm just calm and, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody's got a comment. Everybody's got something to say about you, you know? And I don't think I'm the only one to experience that. And
of course,
like I said, there's going to be haters, you know, I'm just going to keep working hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep shutting them up.
Yeah, man. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen more so. Trust me, it's going to happen more so because of how fast you're rising and how well you're doing. But like you said, man, that last fight really showcased you got hurt. You know, you got hurt from that elbow and then got cut. But it didn't faze you. I mean, you kept on fighting. Vinny was watching that fight. I didn't have Access TV, and then like he had to put the camera in front of the TV so I could watch the fight from Skype. So I was watching the fight, and I remember, you know, watching your fight, and it was like he was telling me, oh, you know, because I said, you know, how's Gaston doing? And he's texting me, and he's like, dude, he's killing him with the leg kicks. You know, he's killing him with the leg kicks. Oh, he got cut, and then I was able to catch the last spot, and you know, you showcased something that you said was the other side that you weren't able to showcase before was. What's going to happen when Gaston Bolaños, like if he has some adversity or something happens, you know, some fighters fail in those type of situations, man. You know, they see blood, they get hurt. They're like, oh, shit, you know, and you didn't panic, man. And it really is that next evolution. And I think it's only going to continue, man, you know, and I'm glad you're doing so well. You know, we're big fans of you. And, you know, and I guess to conclude everything, man, we're super happy to have had you on the show and tell your story. And I also want to say, you know, we wish you nothing but success in your continued fights. And, you know, thank you for being on the Striking Corner, bro.
Thank you very much, guys. And I really appreciate you having me and, you know, telling you guys a little bit of what I've done. And, you know, and I'm, like I said, like I always say, I'm just getting started.
Yeah, man. Definitely just getting started. There's still a lot to go, but I think you're definitely on your way up, man, and you're looking real good. So just keep up the hard work, bro.
We look forward to having you back on when you're 10-0.
I also plan on doing some MMA in the future. So I love Muay Thai, and you know, it's definitely my first love.
Yeah.
But I also want to be doing some mixed martial arts. I've done a couple of amateur MMA fights, but I definitely want to go pro that route as well.
Okay, man. I mean, we'll definitely keep an eye on that as well. And like I said, Dude, wish you nothing but success and keep on doing what you're doing. You know, block out the haters, man, because it's gonna happen. But you seem like you're just fine. You're just fine with them talking all that shit. So just keep on doing what you're doing, bro.
All right, man. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, no worries, all man. Right. Thanks for being on. All right, everybody. So Vinny and I just wanted to thank Gaston Bolaños once again for coming on the show. Really talented up-and-coming fighter like we had, obviously, like we stated in the interview, 4-0 currently in Lion Fight. Just had a great win over Damian Eerley. And, you know, guys, make sure you keep an eye on this kid. He is definitely going to rise up the ranks and put on a great show in his next fights. He is currently under contract with Lion Fight. So they haven't officially announced their next show, but stay tuned for that. I've seen on his Instagram and on his Facebook and everything that he is currently getting ready for his next bout. So stay tuned for that. And I'm pretty sure he's going to put on another hell of a show. So we wish nothing but success to Gaston. And thank you once again for being on the show. All right, guys, so that's pretty much it for Vinny and I on this episode of The Striking Corner. You guys, remember, you can always check us out on www.strikingcorner.com. That is our mothership, the main site. We got everything, all our old podcasts, all our episodes, interviews. We also feature some great fights from our good friend Timo Ruga from Muay Thais. A lot of the most recent fights coming out of Thailand. So definitely check those out. Some articles and that we have up as well. And we will be posting more of that as well. And that's about it. So also check out facebook.com/strikingcorner. That is our official Facebook page. We post a lot on our Facebook page, a lot of great videos, knockouts that we found that are pretty awesome to watch, different articles that we found across the internet that you guys would definitely be interested in. Everything that we can find in the Muay Thai blogosphere and news on the internet, we try to put it up and keep you guys informed and share content from all the great websites that are also Muay Thai and trying to blow up this sport. And also check us out on Twitter at Striking Corner and on Instagram at Striking Corner. Our Instagram, we also try to keep it active as well, little small videos and different pictures and motivational stuff. So hope you guys like that as well. Hey, one thing I wanted to say, if you guys did get your Knock Muay Forever t-shirt from Muay Thai is Life and enjoyed your shirt, basically take a picture, take a selfie with your shirt, hashtag Knock Muay Forever, and we will repost it on the Striking Corner Instagram page. We just want to see all the people that have enjoyed the shirt, and it motivates us to make more. And we are currently in the process of having another campaign for that shirt and also making more awesome Muay Thai is Life gear, which is the official brand of the Striking Corner. With that said, you guys can always contact me at eric@thestrikingcorner.com. That is my official email. If you guys want to hit me up, maybe recommend somebody to be on the podcast, tell us something, tell us that you love the show, tell us that you hate the show, tell me to shut the hell up, you can do that at eric@strikingcorner.com. I'm all ears, and I will write back.
Shut the hell up.
And I will say nice things. Thank you, Vin. So if you want to contact Vin and tell him maybe not to shut up, but maybe talk a little bit more on the podcast, you can also contact him. Where can they contact you, Vinny?
Oh, I get to tell them my own email address. Of you don't course. Want to say that too?
I'm not going to say that.
Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y @strikingcorner.com.
All right, guys. So you guys can contact Vinny there. And you can contact me there at email and on all our social media. We will be back in just 2 weeks for another great podcast. We have a very special guest on that one as well. And we can't wait to have him on the show and have you guys listen to it. So we will be back soon. And that's it. That's The Striking Corner. We are signing off.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.